I was entering my last semester in seminary. I remember vividly because I was ready to be done. I was ready to stop writing papers and all that homework and stuff. And I had a little room in my schedule for one more course. And I'd kind of done all the heavy hitter stuff. I'd already done all the theology and Old Testament, New Testament, and obviously knew everything about the Bible by that point. That's a joke. Just kidding. Definitely didn't. But I was kind of had some time in my schedule, and I needed to take one more course, an elective, and kind of was talking to a friend about what I should take, and he suggested this one professor, and he had had a great experience with him, and he said, you should see if he has any classes. And so looked up online to say, hey, what was available with this professor? And the course name was this, Scripture. I was like, well, that's good. That's a good start, right? Formation. I was like, okay, good. Forming my soul, yeah, sign up. And then lastly, soul care. I'll be honest with you, that word, I didn't know what to do with at all. I was like, soul care, what does that exactly mean? You know, like, is that like, are we doing like incense and candles? Or what are we doing? Is that like a spa day? I don't know. But I was like, it sounds kind of nice. I was like, whatever it is, I'm going to sign up for it. And I took this person's advice, and I signed up for this course, not really knowing exactly what I signed up for, but my soul was tired. You know, I was finishing up school. I was in ministry full-time. I worked a part-time job. I was going to school full-time, and I was married full-time, you know? So I had lots, and this is before all the Holloman kiddos came along, but it was just a lot of busyness, and there wasn't a lot of margin, and I thought, you know, my soul could use some care, so let's give this a shot. And I signed up for this course. It was a Tuesday morning at 9. I don't remember any other of my other classes scheduled, but I remember this was a Tuesday at 9 a.m., and I would go to this class, and I remember walking in there, not knowing what to expect, but walking out the first time. I remember I called Kayla as soon as I walked out, and I said, Kayla, I think this might be the best course I've ever taken, and I'd been there 1 week. And I started to get a taste of what soul care was, and I said, I don't know how to describe it, Kayla, but something's happened in this class that God is, like, I felt like I just met with Jesus. And not because this professor was Jesus, let me clarify. Like, he was not some young, he wasn't like Yoda or something, you know, like some sage. But something was going on in that course, and God was working my heart, and it was just blowing up my world, you know, in my last semester in seminary. And as I was thinking about this series, I was reflecting on that, and I was like, oh, I remember what our very first thing that Dr. Howard taught us, and what it was is we spent, the first thing he taught us, the first thing we did, first thing every single day for the whole course is we prayed and read and meditated on the Psalms every single time we entered that class. Every single time when we started, we would read a psalm, you know, and Dr. Howard, like, we'd read and we'd pray, and he would just say, like, man, that's cool, huh, you know, and then you just move on. Like, he didn't, like, it wasn't like, there wasn't anything, like, special or, like, you know, like, any, it wasn't like we were doing chants or something in there, but there was something happening. Just, it hit me as I was preparing this series of the path or the tool forward for some of that transformation that was happening in my soul, I believe, was God using this book that we call the Psalms. And so we are starting a series called Summer in the Psalms, and so plot, you know, spoiler alert, we're spending the whole summer there. But we're going to spend all, for the next like 8 or so weeks in this book. And each week, we're not going to be able to go through all of 150 chapters, but we will be going through various different chapters of this book. And we're going to be covering Psalms, something like this. And today's text is going to be Psalms 116, the first 7 verses. It'll be on the screen. If you have a Bible, you can read with me as well. But the Psalm 116 says this, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. And when I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I'm curious, in a room this size with, I know people watching online as well, what was happening for you as I read that passage? Because I think Brian alluded to it, we all are coming into this, reading this passage with different lenses or different perspectives, right? We come with different experiences with the Lord or even a journey with the Lord. And so when I read that, I can imagine that for some of you, and even as I said, we're going to spend all summer there, For some of you, you were like, great, sign me up, right? Like, oh, that was good. I loved it. Like it was kind of washing over you and you're like, I'm excited about this. But I know that there has to be at least one or two people in this room that I read that and you're like, this isn't all that feely stuff, is it, right? I don't want to do all this feely. Like, I don't really love that part. I don't connect to that part. And I respect that because I understand that looking at a book that has a lot of imagery and emotion in it, maybe that is a little bit uncomfortable for you. And maybe that's where you're at, and that's okay. There's space for you there. And then lastly, maybe there's a group of you who are just like, I don't even know what to do with the Psalms. Like, I think my grandma had something knitted in her house with a psalm on it, right? Or the daily bread was in the bathroom. Like, and that's all you know. Like, that's all you know about the Psalms. Or you're like, I've never even heard of it until right now. Wherever you're at in that, I hope that the Lord will speak to us this morning, and he'll give you some kind of handlebars to how to engage this book. And so this is my goal this morning. I'm going to put it out there for you. My goal this morning is to do three things. We're going to talk about the what, the why, and the how. What the heck are the Psalms? Like, what are they? Why are they there? And then secondly, why are they there? Like why should I engage them? Why should I give them time? It's one of the books of the Bible. Why are we studying that for so long? And then lastly, how? Which we all want to know, like, okay, maybe you're motivated. And how do I do this, Logan? So that's what we're going to do. Those three kind of stations this morning. So first, what are the Psalms, okay? So if you're taking notes, the what. We need to start with the what. What are they? Well, if you flip open to them, I am fully aware that with someone who has no trained or not the trained eye, if you open up them, they can be quite confusing. They're not necessarily, they're nonlinear. They don't just necessarily follow one another. They can be even repetitive at times. You're like, didn't he just say that like last chapter? Like, what's going on? You know, like, come on, you already said that one time, right? Or maybe they're ups and downs. There's lots of highs and lows emotionally. There is a wide breadth of human experience there. There are every emotion you can imagine in this. And so if you don't know what it is, why is that there? And so what the Psalms are, they are the songs and poems and prayers of David, but also other authors who are writing. So imagine in some senses, imagine like the little prayers that maybe you've prayed this morning, or maybe you scribbled in your journal. And a lot of these are lived experiences from David, that prayers he prayed, or songs that he may have written, or others, or even some songs were made as like maybe like a corporate song, like songs we just worship. So it was like someone had the inspiration to write a song, and these became, so they're deeply personal, but they're also for everyone else. There's even, you'll see that in some of the Psalms, they'll say for like the chorus, or like they were meant to be songs of worship. And the Psalms, simply this, they were the actual prayer book for the church for the first 1,000 years of the church. Like when people said, how do you pray? They would talk about the Lord's Prayer, but they'd also pray the Psalms. They would recite them word for word. They'd meditate on them. And it's a rich history that we have. And even most of our worship songs that we sing this morning, even ones we sang this morning, they find their inspiration in some of the Psalms. I tried to even do some research this week of like how many current worship songs have been inspired by the Psalms. And get this, AI was like, it's unnumberable. I'm like, I just broke AI. That's awesome. You know, they were like, there was like no way to know. And I was like, really? That's the best you got? Because there's like, it's just, there's so much in them that it's hard to tell how many songs have just pulled a verse here or there or become an inspiration for a song. But they're not just a prayer book. Father Ambrose called the Psalms the gymnasium of the soul. I like that, the gym of the soul, right? Or John Calvin, he wrote this, the Psalms are anatomy of all the parts of the soul. All the parts. The good parts, your polished parts, parts that you kind of wish weren't there. Maybe the parts that you kind of hide when you come into church and you don't want to like, oh yeah, God is good all the time. You know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe what the things you've said Monday through Saturday before you walked in here. Or maybe your doubts, maybe your fears, maybe the things you're grieving, maybe the hardships that you experienced this week. That's the breadth that we see in the Psalms. It's an opportunity just to be really honest before God. We see that. People are just being, you know, they let God know how they're feeling, what they're going through. But this isn't just some soppy journal. This isn't just someone's feelings. Like if I even pulled up your journal that you wrote in your prayers, like imagine yours were on display for everybody. We probably wouldn't like that very much, right? Unless you're a blogger, which is basically what you're kind of doing. But if you had your own personal journal, you wouldn't want everybody to see that. But we have this gift of seeing David's, his innermost thoughts and his feelings and the parts where he was wrestling and his high moments, his low moments. But it's also scripture, and it means it's for us. Because it's not just Dave's experience. We can all relate to that. We can all know what it's like to grieve or to be in waiting or wonder or to have moments of celebration or moments of just confusion. God, what are you doing? But what you'll see in the Psalms is all of them express this emotion, but they always kind of turn your gaze towards God. And that's simply what I'd say. What are the Psalms? The Psalms are meant to guide us towards worship, to direct our attention, whatever our circumstance, good, bad, ugly, different, mundane, to bring our attention to God and bring him into it and say, God, this is what my world's like, but I want to know where you're at. What are you doing? That's what the Psalms do for us. They allow us language to be honest and open before God. And you don't have to be a poet or an artist to appreciate that. Because I confess, I appreciate all the musicians up here. Brandon's never let me sing. He's never going to let me sing. I've tried out lots of times. I tried to bring the cowbell, and they said no. I don't know why. But I can't sing. And I can't sing. I can't write. I wish I was good with words like that. Like, I'm always like envious of people like that, like who have that ability to like have a thought and then put it into words or lyrics. I'm like, man, how'd you do that? Because I don't feel like I can do that. But the Psalms are amazing because it kind of gives me language for what I feel, even though I don't feel like I could come up with that myself. Like, I wish I could write something that cool, but I can't. And so it gives you this a language. And I'll confess, I grew up in a tradition that like even men treated the Psalms. Sometimes, like, if you actually prayed a written prayer, like, you weren't spiritual enough. Anybody else grow like that? Like, you can't, like, oh, you don't really mean that prayer if you read it. Pfft, that's not real, right? But actually, that's not true, because we see that in the life of all these early church leaders, the early church, and it's always been a vital part of our faith. So what are the Psalms? Simply, they are a prayer book, a poems. They're a way to engage worship, simply that. But why should we study them? We've covered the what they are, but why should we study them? Well, the Psalms is the longest book of the Bible. It is. It has 150 chapters. It's also the most popular and most read of the Bible. Did you know that? More people have quoted the Psalms or read it. It's always the most common one. And those are all good reasons, but I'm going to do a Sunday school answer. I think the real reason is Jesus read them a lot. Actually, if you notice, Jesus actually quotes the Psalms more than any other book in his ministry. They're the ones that he comes back to time and time again. They actually impact his teaching. And actually, some of his final words that maybe some of you guys are familiar with were actually him reciting and praying the Psalms. Psalms 22, verse 1, and Psalms 31, verse 5. These are the last words we see Jesus saying on the cross as he hung there for you and I. He says, "My God and my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's directly from Psalms 22. And then secondly, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." That's from Psalms 31. So Jesus, just imagine this for a moment. As a Jewish rabbi, Jesus would have memorized all of the Psalms, all 150 chapters. So there's your challenge for this week. To memorize all of them, he would have recited them, and Jesus would have prayed them daily. So when Jesus prayed, and we know the Lord's Prayer, we see how he's taught us to pray, but there's also this rich history that we know, not only did our early church mothers and fathers in our faith, you know, heroes of the faith do that, but also Jesus, we know, prayed every single word of the Psalms. What does that do for you? And that's something that Dr. Howard taught us. He said, you know, would you just consider it for a minute, like when we are reading and praying the Psalms, we're not just joining in some history or legacy of our faith, but what we really are, we're actually like, I can, like, just think about that for a minute. I have the ability right now to pray the exact words that I know Jesus prayed. That Jesus felt some of these things. That Jesus experienced this. He knows what it's like to be forgotten and forsaken and rejected, to feel lowly, to feel in great need. And when he was at a loss for words, you know the first things that came to his mind? It wasn't just his own prayer, but it was actually scripture. It came back to his mind. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a theologian and pastor, said this. He says, "The Psalms is the prayer book of Jesus Christ in the truest sense of the word. He prayed the Psalms, and now has become his prayer for all time." It just hit me this week of like, man, you might hear that phrase sometimes in Christian culture, like, I want to spend some time with Jesus, and that's great. I'm all for that. Man, the Psalms are almost like this gift. Like, why should I do it? Man, I can actually engage Jesus in a new and fresh way, knowing that, man, Jesus has said this, and it's okay for me to say this too. So when we read these, when we chew on these, when we meditate on them, it's spurred on awe and wonder in my heart. And if you spend any time in the Gospels and watch Jesus' life and his ministry, you can see that his inner life is very much formed by the Psalms. So if I want my inner being, if I want my soul to become like that of Jesus, then maybe it's wise for me to pray the Psalms or read them as well. It's freeing to know that it doesn't make me lazy if I'm like, God, I don't really know what to pray. I feel overwhelmed by my life or my job or my circumstances, or I can't really articulate exactly what I'm feeling, but Lord, you said this in scripture, so I'm gonna pray that back to you. And it's freeing to know that's not me being lazy or like, oh, you're taking the way out, you know? No, it's Jesus actually prayed this as well. It's actually helpful handlebars for us. And lastly, we come to the how. Because some of you, maybe I may have convinced you. Maybe you're like, okay, why? You pulled the Jesus card, Logan, that's a little low. You know, like, well, Jesus read them, so you should too. That's a Jesus juke. You know, you guys familiar with the Jesus juke? Imagine like a Jesus stiff arm, you know? It's like, Jesus. And then you're like, dang, I can't beat that answer, you know? It's a Sunday school answer, right? So I don't want to just stop there and be like, okay, Pastor Logan came up and said, Jesus read them, so I need to read them too and guilt you. I'm not trying to guilt you. Because I think motivation only gets us so far, right? Motivation can help us at some point. And information is helpful too, but you will never have enough information, or maybe motivation comes and goes. But I hope that your heart will be spurred on by this. And so when I say how do I do this? I want to give you a picture to imagine. I want you to imagine a fire pit or camping. It's summertime, right? So you're gonna go camping. As long as there's no fire bans, we'll get to put some fires. Any fire pit people out there? Any big fire pit? Anybody have one at their house? Mike, okay. All right, here's the real thing. We just put one in our house, and it's been a hotly debated, contested wood versus gas argument in our house. Let me see the propane people out there. None of you guys. That's right, because you love the Lord. That's good. I'm just kidding. I saw a couple. No, I'm just kidding. It's a safe space. We meet you where you're at, okay, with propane, gas. It's fine. So me and my wife, we've been debating, like, you know, pros and cons, right? Pros and cons list of the propane versus wood. That was way less than I expected. That caught me off guard. Wow. I saw, like, two hands, and they were very shy. The propane people, right? Pro, very convenient. I get it. Click. Click, 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 pops on, turn it off. Probably a little safer, you know, with little kiddos. I got little kiddos, that makes sense. You can put it away. You don't smell like smoke, you know, that's a big one. Like, I don't want to smell like a fire, you know, I'm like, okay. It's not how the pioneers did it, you know, like whatever. But, you know, when I think about like a fire pit, like I kind of go, I'm pro wood, you know, they're like, well, you got to split the wood. I'm like, you know, that's awesome, you know, great. Something about Brian Preeby, he loves splitting wood. If you ever need me to split wood, he will do it for you. We kind of compromised and did both, which I don't know. That's kind of just like we opted out. We just kind of like, Kayla's got her little one on the porch. I got kind of like my fire pit. I'm like, are we just going to like sit in our own fire pits by ourselves? Like, no, I will die on this hill, you know? Kayla made a good point. You know, it's on our little deck and it's nice, a little ambiance. And so these pros and cons of this, and I know you're like, what is he talking about this morning? But I want you to think about this. I think smoke is actually one of the pros of a fire pit. Because when I think about smoke, it reminds me, it's almost like, or you have that sweatshirt you might take camping, and you smell it, and it smells like smoke. Like, you know right away, you're like, dude, you were by a fire, weren't you, right? Like, you're like, you've been camping, it reminds you. It's actually a sensory reminder of a certain place and time. And we built these things not so I could just sit there by myself, but hopefully to surround ourselves with people, and it's relationships, it's people around that where we spend time, whether it be camping on your deck or gas or whatever, but you get to spend time with people you love around a fire. And I'm just curious this morning, have you engaged scripture as almost kind of like this duty or this motivate, like it's like, okay, I gotta do the thing. I gotta know more about God, or, oh man, I wanna be better, so I gotta engage the book of the Bible. And maybe that's what you're hearing this morning. And I just, again, I wanna argue for intimacy over motivation and information. We need motivation, we need information. Those are good things. But intimacy. That word means closeness, to be around. And I think about that, the image that comes to my mind is like being around a fire and spending it with loved ones. And what if this summer we looked at the Psalms as actually like me spending time with the Lord in a, around a fire? And you know what happens around fires? I never come to a fire where all my friends and be like, okay, guys, just download this information on me right now. You know, give me the bullet points, right? No, there's lingering and it's about spending time together and enjoying each other's company rather than just trying to get something out of that. And so this summer, what I want to ask you to do is don't try to just study the Psalms, but consider it more like lingering, praying, and worshiping God. Like it's time with the Lord around a fire. But I think what happens is that God's presence, when we spend time with him, when we spend time in a book, and every book is God-breathed, all of it is important. I'm not saying Psalms should be elevated, hear me out. But there's something in my soul that's excited this summer to spend time with the Lord and spend time with him just knowing that, Jesus, you prayed these. And I'm hoping that my life starts to smell like smoke a little bit. I hope my life kind of smells like Jesus a little bit. And I don't know exactly know what that's gonna look like, but I think it's gonna affect my relationships and engage me and the people I engage with and how I talk to people. And I hope that there's something so tangible from me spending time in this book that people are almost like, have you been around a fire? Have you been around? Like, what is that? What is that about you? What are you doing? What are you studying right now? And I don't want to come into it and be like, okay, God, I got 30 minutes before the kids wake up and okay, and then this, and we got to get the, you know, I don't want to rush it. I want to just try to linger. And so that's what I want to invite you into. Everything I have this morning is just invitation. It's not to tell you or to beat you over the head with it. But that's what I think God has for us this summer. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite pastors, he says it this way. The practice of Christians in praying the Psalms is straightforward. Simply pray through the Psalms, psalm by psalm, regularly. That's it. Open up our Bibles to the book of Psalms and pray them sequentially, regularly, faithfully across a lifetime. This is how most Christians for most of the Christian centuries have matured in prayer. Nothing fancy, just do it. Which sounds like Eugene would have been paying attention to some Nike ads there just a little bit. So I've given you a Jesus juke and now a Nike ad. But I think that's simple. Like when I say, how do I do this? Sometimes it's just showing up, putting some logs in the fire and just sitting there and waiting for a good friend to come over. For some of us, we've never experienced scripture or encountering God like that before. It's become a duty or it's become rigid. And we haven't just said, you know what, Lord, I'm just gonna come here. I'm gonna read a couple Psalms and I'm just gonna kind of wait on you. I don't have to add a bunch of words. I don't have to bring a bunch of religious language. I can just pray these simple words and say, Lord, would you meet me here? And so that's what I'm committed to this summer. I'm committed to experimenting a little bit, you might say, of reading the Psalms with a backdrop that Jesus prayed them. And I want to notice how much of his teaching have their roots in the Psalms. And I'm going to get you out here a little early today, which makes me you guys' number one pastor, I know. But the Psalms do this. They teach us to pray, worship, and to be honest before God, expressing every joy and struggle and question. They shape our faith, pointing to Jesus who prayed and fulfilled them. And embracing them as a daily, it's going to cultivate a life of worship, which really, again, that's why we do this. It's to worship God. And it's rooting us in God's word. And so what I want to do to close our time, and we have a little time left, so we're going to linger here just a little longer, is I thought a good place to start, maybe I can challenge you to jump into this morning as you study the Psalms this summer. And as I thought, where's a good place to start? Well, I was like, let me start with the shortest psalm, right? Just a couple lines. The shortest psalm. And so what I want to do this morning is we're going to close in here and we're going to hear Psalms 117. And I don't want us to rush past this. Because I started this story talking about soul care and talking about how your soul was. And maybe your soul like mine is like internet semester was a little weary. It's burdened, it's preoccupied. Maybe there's a sense in there that you just, man, your day gets past and you're like, man, I don't know if I gave any time to the Lord. Or maybe you're just new to this and you don't even know I read Psalms 116, you're like, man, is it true that there's a God who loves me, who is compassionate, that I can call out to that? And it's ironic that the next Psalm right after that is just this call to worship. All it is. It's two lines that just call us to worship. And maybe even this morning as we sang our first couple songs, and worship's not just songs, hear me out. It's all of our lives. But I'm fully aware that for some of us, it was impossible for us to engage this morning because our hearts weren't there yet. Or maybe there's just our circumstances seem too great that I can't actually sing those words and believe it. And what the psalm authors do for us is just call us to worship even when we don't feel like it this morning. And so here's what I want to do. I want you to close your eyes for me. I'm going to read this for you. And I just want to think about wherever you're at and just hear these words as I pray over them a couple times, okay? So go ahead and close your eyes. Psalms 117 says this. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Think about your week. Whatever you're coming in here with, celebratory, grieving, lamenting, a lot of words to say, none to say. What would you say to him? Wherever your soul or your heart is today, journey, would we praise the Lord, all you nations? Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, every single one of us in this room. Going to the cross for every single person in this room in mind. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Forever. Good week, bad week. Know a lot of verses, don't know any of them. His faithfulness endures forever. Let us praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us. It's great. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Lord, it has been, it is, and it always will be about you, King Jesus. Always has been, it is, and it has been, or will be about you, Jesus. And so, Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday in 2025, we just pray, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come. Move in our hearts again. Bring life again. Shake up dry bones in this place again, Lord. Let your word, the prayers that were on your lips, be on ours, Lord. We pray that the word of Christ will always fill our minds. It'll overflow from our lips and make a home in our hearts. Amen.